This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's time for Ben's Vision.
Our mission starting this spring is to win and to win now.
Projecting how the Bears roster will take shape under new head coach Ben Johnson.
Ben's vision is going to be principle.
These are the type of players that I need. That's the vision.
If it doesn't fit Ben's vision, are you willing to move on from certain guys?
Really enjoy hearing Ben's vision.
Current roster, free agents, and the draft.
Our entire organization's fired up about Ben Johnson and his vision for winning football.
Ben's vision.
This offense will be calibrated with Caleb in mind. This is not simply a dropping of a previous playbook down on the table and starting there. Nope, we're ripping this thing down to the studs and we're going to build it up with him first and foremost and then with the pieces around him next.
With Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
That's right. Ben's vision is the segment and is the conceit. Mark Grody, the head coach, needs to be the philosopher king of the football organization. Something I don't believe the Bears have had since Mike Ditka, frankly.
In terms of a coach with that much power?
Yep.
Well, Dave Wannstedt did have some GM power in his time as well, which eventually he did not have. But yeah, like this probably is that. I mean, we all assume that that's going to be the case, or at least have heavy say in what is going on.
And that is the conceit of the segment. So we thought in terms of talent evaluation and procurement, let's talk to our friend Mike Valenti at 97.1 The Ticket about how the Lions have done it. Did Brad Holmes, the GM, allow Dan Campbell to drive the bus on certain players? And did Campbell, in turn, then allow Ben Johnson, when it came to the offense, to provide his own vision?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And look, for a long time, the Lions were compartmentalized, and it wasn't a singular vision. And what you've got here is everybody rowing the boat, same direction, and it comes from the top. Brad Holmes does not believe in need. And if you look at how the Lions have drafted, I mean, hey, they need D-line help. Yeah, great. They took Jahmyr Gibbs. Hey, they need, you know, a pass rusher. Well, good for you. We just took an off-ball linebacker. It begins and ends with the evaluation. Now, look, a couple of the picks fell into their lap, right? When Jalen Waddle gets taken by Miami and you end up with Penei Sewell, it's a no-brainer. My dog could have made that draft pick. But what Ben Johnson is going to bring is this. The reason I led with that is, okay, the way Ben operates, everyone's playing a role. But it begins and ends with the run game. And that should be music to the ears, not only of Bears fans, but Caleb Williams. Because far too often watching last year, you just threw the kid to the wolves. And he didn't play with structure at USC. And then you allowed him to not play with structure last year. And I thought he did a very commendable job surviving it. Right? He didn't go out there and throw 27 interceptions. You know what I mean? So what Ben is going to bring is, A, he's a perfectionist. He demands accountability. He may not look like a fiery guy. He's a red ass. And I mean that in the best possible way. He will absolutely get along with Chicago and that attitude and the way it works. Structure is going to be important. Now, I am fascinated. This is the one thing I won't be able to answer for you guys today. I am fascinated because, look, he got Jared Goff to play his way. But how much of that was that Jared Goff is good, but he's limited. He's typecast. He is a certain type of guy. I am going to be fascinated to see what Ben Johnson's vision for Caleb will be. We know it'll come off the run game. We know it's going to be a ton of pre-snap candy, tons of play action. But Caleb unlocks things that, frankly, Ben Johnson couldn't do here. You know, we always have a joke. We call it mobile Goff season. Anytime he would rush for, you know, 4 or 5 yards, you're like, look at the wheels on this cat. But with Caleb, that's a different deal. So you're going to get absolute command position from the head coach. He is not a mild-mannered guy. Lose whatever you think about that. He will cuss guys out. He is going to demand accountability. He is going to spread the football around. He is going to make the quarterback's job easier, but it will begin and end with the run game. So when you talk your roster construction, it is going to be completely, obviously, I don't need to tell you, Speaks, completely remade up front, because that offensive line stinks.
Yes, and as this is great stuff and a great starting point for conversation in terms of the background of it. You know, I will say, to answer your unanswerable, and we'll be following it, Caleb's favorite quarterback of all time is Aaron Rodgers. So just like Aaron Rodgers had his skill set kind of harnessed and helped by Mike McCarthy and then, of course, Matt LaFleur after that, Green Bay's always run the ball. They've always run the ball, and I think Caleb will have an appreciation of that. With that in mind, before I get to some specifics on the O-line, should I expect the Bears to trade away DeAndre Swift like the Lions did?
You know, DeAndre is such a polarizing player when he was here. I mean, I loved him when he was available. And then you had some of these moments where you're like, wait a minute, you look like you're non-functioning. How are you out here? I think here's the best way to do this. To me, deep running back class. I don't need to go down the list, but it is a deep class of running backs. I think for a year, DeAndre will have some familiarity with what's going on, add a young back to it, mix and match. And get it rolling. And plus, Speaks, here's the thing. If you trade DeAndre away, what do you get? You're going to get a sandwich. You know, you've already got a ton of cap space. You're good to go there. I probably keep him around because the way Ben wants to do it is going to be multiple backs. Mm-hmm. And DeAndre, even if it's specific to the passing game, can play a huge role in that.
Yeah, that makes sense. Sandwiches are good, by the way. Don't besmirch
they
sandwiches
are
on my watch. Caleb Johnson. Out of Iowa, you as a Big Ten guy, I mean, that one of the kind of running backs that makes sense? I'm thinking DeAndre could be a veteran version of Gibbs in terms of Sonic. They need a Knuckles.
Yeah, you do. I'll tell you one thing. Both Ohio State backs, Quinshon Judkins, Travion Henderson, there's a load of backs this year. But those two really jump off the screen to me. You know, Johnson's tough with Iowa. Watching Iowa, you're one eye open anyways. You're fighting a coma watching him play. I don't know how much of him is going to be usage and how much that translates into the explosive factor in the NFL. I worry about a guy like that. But you're not going to be short on backs. But I'm telling you, Quinshon Judkins would be the guy I'd use.
All right.
They didn't not a ton of usage in college, right? He got the split carries here. He played the 1 year at Ole Miss. So you're not drafting a guy with 1,000 career carries. He's got a little bit of speed. He's got juice. Jumps off the screen. Power. He's a complete package to me.
All right. Mike Valenti from 97.1, The Ticket, helping us out here. Look, I'm wondering if Cole Kmet is a great fit or if they need another tight end because of how much 12 personnel Ben likes to run. Yep. The Lions very high on running two tight ends. The Bears were very low last year. Will Ben want his Will Ben want his Sam Laporta? Is Kmet more like his Brock Wright in this design?
Listen, but you're going to sign 17 tight ends. I hope you're ready. you're going to draft all of them. You're going to sign all of them. He's great at personnel and attacking. And look, Kmet to me can be a Laporta like tight end. Kmet has a lot of tools and you just haven't had things in place to fully unlock all of it. But I wouldn't be shocked in the least if you go after a tight end, whether it be free agency or draft. No, you're absolutely making that conversion. I would be flabbergasted if the Bears didn't look completely different offensively. And it's going to begin and end with O-line, tight ends, personnel, running the ball, setting up throws. I mean, you're talking about God with Goff. They were throwing almost 37% of pass attempts were play action. You know, that you're making your quarterback's life easy, and that's what Ben Johnson has been great at. But make no mistake, this is something, Speaks, I think you and listeners are really going to enjoy. This, are you a Curb fan at all?
Sure, of course.
Okay, he is Latte Larry. He's going to operate the Spite Store, and the opponent will be Mocha Joe. Like when the Cowboys had this thing where Dan Skipper reported eligible and yes, the ref screwed them, Ben Johnson spent the entire week designing how many ways can I bleep you with offensive linemen. He was throwing passes to linemen. He had Penei Sewell on a reverse. He will spite people. He will blow the doors off people if given a chance. So understand, any slight, the culture of the Lions, any slight, oh, no, we're going to kill you. And I do. I think it's something the Bears need. For far too long, they've lost their edge. They just haven't been a serious franchise. I'm hopeful for your sake, and I'm hopeful for Ben's sake, that, you know, he doesn't go the way of Cliff Kingsbury, where it's brilliant OC, terrible head coach, right? We've seen that a million times. This guy's the goods as a play caller and as a guy who commands accountability, especially from his quarterback. It's the recipe when you got a guy like Caleb.
This is why we're hoping that it's different. We just lived through Matt Nagy, who was a play collector and not a play caller, really.
Yeah.
You know, and also only had the Andy Reid offense in his bag. It's all he had. And year after year, week after week, it was, you know, stubborn on stubborn. Ben has coached all the different positions. He seems to have a lot of different schemes incorporated into what he's done over the last 3 years, and he's a slave to the run game. But this personality bit about him being the right kinds of petty for a competitive sport, that is music to Bears fans' petty ears, because we don't like that Detroit has risen up and is better than us, Mike. You know, we don't like this at all.
Shouldn't. Yeah. You shouldn't, and I believe me, I understand it. Here's the other thing. What I'll say is this, right? You bring up the Andy Reid offense and all that stuff. When you really look at it, year after year after year, Reid has lost coaches around him, and you know, and then Eric Bieniemy went on to be an absolute joke. That's because Andy calls the plays.
Yes.
Right? So, like, that whole, like, Chiefs offense thing is not a thing. It resides with old Big Red. With Ben Johnson, here's what I'll tell you. The biggest compliment I can pay, it's like a route tree. But everything he does, he's got three or four things underneath it. Oh, they ran that trick play earlier in the year. Yeah, well, it just set up these three other things. His sequencing is really largely brilliant. Hmm. And week to week, and it very Patriot-like. There could be a week where they want to cut the ball loose 38 times. There'll be another week where you swear Caleb plays for Air Force Academy and throws it 12 times.
Good.
He's flexible. He goes with it. But the run game is where it will begin and end. But make no mistake, he'll use that run game to bait you in, and he'll run seven straight play actions. He's an evil genius with offense. He really is.
I am advocating, Mike, for the 35-year-old Kevin Zeitler, the guard of Detroit, who's now a free agent, to come over and sign a one-year deal, give him two if you must, and let him teach the young offensive lineman that they also draft or sign how to do things Ben's way. Does that make sense?
I like it. Yeah, it does, because it's going to cost you about 10% of what a Trey Smith would cost you. I don't know where the league has gone, Speaks, but when did we arrive at guards making $20 million? You know, the Robert Hunt experience. I'm not into it. With Zeitler, listen, They felt his loss in the Commander game that they lost. He blew out his hammy and didn't play in that game. Just a rock-solid vet. He had a really good year for him. I think you're spot on with it, because you're going to be able to allocate that money to other places. And I'm just not a believer in paying a guard $20 million.
Wow.
So, yes to Zeitler with you.
I'd be okay with both. Maybe I'm crazy.
You're not crazy.
They need three new interior offensive linemen. And what I'd struggle with is if you want to draft a center, tell us about Frank Ragnow. You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to figure out what the profile is for positions that are hard to scout from our perspective.
Yeah, the problem with Ragnow is he's if he's not the best center in the league, he sits at that dinner table. He's an absolute warrior. I mean, the guy plays with an inoperable toe. He played with a torn pec. He's just football guy. He's a warrior. You're not going to find, you know, Ragnows don't grow on trees. The other problem is, and you're seeing, look, I'm originally from New York. I'm a Giants fan. You're seeing what drafting a center can happen. The Giants took arguably the best center in the draft in John Michael Schmitz.
Yeah.
He has been a pinata his first 2 years in the league. It takes a couple years. It's very hard to find a Creed Humphrey or a Ragnow where you plug and play. That to me is where you could just invest some money in that spot. Mm-hmm. Because you need someone to help your young QB with the checks, the protections, and what you're doing offensively now is going to be night and day from whatever the hell the Thomas Brown show was last year. That was I watching you guys was something. You guys deserve battle pay. I mean, that was my God.
It was a grim existence. I'm not going to lie. But this is what we get. You know, it got so bad that I think we might end up getting taken care of. What are your concerns about Ben taking over, if any, in terms of the full sure. operation?
And I'll say this because there's no slander. It's just the same two concerns I have anytime you've got first-time head coach and young quarterback. I think, A, it's a different thing when you're sitting in that different chair. So can he make that transition that, you know, a lot of DCs and OCs have failed to make where you're like, wait, these guys are spectacular. What's the problem? But the other thing is what we kind of started with. Okay, you had Jared Goff who flourished with structure. If Ben forces him into that kind of game, is that best practice? Or do we see another, you know, Crayola in the box here where all of a sudden you go, whoa, I didn't realize you had that to your game? I think those are the two things. Because, mm-hmm. look, Caleb, for as good as Caleb is, he learned a lot of bad habits at USC. If you think the Bears' offensive line is terrible, guys, go look at what Lincoln Riley put in front of this kid. Every play he was playing backyard football. And I think that's damaging. I think that hurts a kid. So those would be the only two concerns.
Yep.
But make no mistake, those are universal. But you know what I like about it? Look, he said up front, I'm going to be choosy about where I go. I want the organization I go to be on the same page. I want that organization to be able to look me in the eye and admit mistakes, right? These are things that are real. So he's going to get command of the kitchen. And, yeah, it's going to be on the front office. You've got to get players. I think you're close. I do. I think the O-line, don't be shocked if you get another playmaker. Like, the one thing when you start doing your show going into the draft and you're doing positions of need, throw it in the garbage. Because if Ben Johnson's getting his way the way Brad Holmes did it here, they're taking the best available player and they'll figure it out later.
Well, that's an interesting question because – they just got Roma Dunze as a number one pick at wide receiver. DJ Moore's locked and loaded. Keenan Allen probably gone as a veteran free agent. They need a third wideout. I find myself thinking about Cooper Kupp as a slot guy. I don't know if he's a fit for what the offense is or what kind of wide receiver what kind of extra wide receiver weapon does Ben Johnson go, yep, that's what I need at this point?
Yeah, probably a slot machine. That's been Amon-Ra St. Brown's, you know, greatness here. The ability to operate in space. You can't jam him. You can't cover him man-to-man. It would have been a younger Keenan Allen, candidly, mm-hmm, right? You couldn't cover the guy, elite route runner, that type of guy. But look, the beauty of where football's gone now is you don't need just one player. It's opened up these middle rounds to where I'm going to use three backs. I don't need to take one in the top 10. You know, I'm going to use four, five, six receivers. You know, go in the middle rounds. Go grab a guy. It's all profile. Mm-hmm. Speed's going to play a role, but it's all got to be players that have high IQ. And I'll tell you the one thing the Lions have always done, and I'm going to be interested to see if Ben rubs off on the Bears organization as far as one thing the Lions focused on with draft picks was the RAS scores. And I know we're nerding out. We've probably just lost 96% of your audience. I apologize. But when you're looking at who the Lions would take, it always ended up being one of these guys who had a top 10 RAS score at the position for relative athletic score. And that, to me, is the recipe to success because every guy the Lions take, they're versatile. They are an athlete first, and they're weapons. I mean, that's how you end up where you line up against the Lions, and you're like, what the hell am I supposed to do with this?
Yeah,
there's dudes everywhere.
I hope I did a nice job pretending I knew what RAS scores were during that moment.
No, it's
moment.
Okay. I know.
You're dragging me along. Valenti, you're a king. This is is what I need.
Next week you'll have Bill James on and nerd out on the White Sox, right?
I apologize. Why would we bother? Last thing, I think I don't remember the last time if ever that we were in a state like this where not only are the Lions better than the Bears, but the Red Wings are better than the Blackhawks. The Pistons just swept the Bulls. The Tigers are better than either the Cubs or the White Sox. Like, I don't know, has this ever happened? I got to do the math on it, but it's got to feel pretty good.
No, but we just went 10 years where I'm pretty sure Detroit had the lowest winning percentage of any four-sport town. I mean, we went through 10 years of hell. I also, listen, candidly, don't count the Cubs out. I think the Tigers may take a step back this year. The Pistons are fun, but let's be clear. This is the worst Eastern Conference in history. Half the teams don't even try. I mean, hello, Bulls.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hi.
The hockey thing, look, it's year six of the Iser plan. I'm not exactly sending him an edible arrangement because we're contending for a playoff spot. But yes, it's more a statement on the disastrous state of Chicago sports at large. But the Bears are going to be fine.
Yes.
They're going to be okay, and I think the Cubs are going to win that division.
Shane, send Mike Valenti an edible arrangement. He can send it on to Iserman if he wants. It's up to you.
Repurpose.
Yes. Thank you, Mike. You're the best.
You got it, Speaks. No problem. Take care, guys.
Appreciate it. That's Mike Valenti from 97.1 The Ticket. Mark Grody, not here earlier when we taped that interview, but here now and listening, which I thought was a really nice touch by you.
I was focusing. I was taking notes like I was in a 300-level class at ISU.
It's good stuff.
Sitting there. So, that was fantastic.
There's some stuff in there.
A lot of stuff. I have at least 5 bullet points here.
We're going to react to that and continue the conversation about Ben Johnson's vision as it relates to the Bears and what we just learned there from Mike Valenti. Paul Pabst will join us in studio top of the hour, but keep listening to Spiegs and Grody on Spiegel and Holm.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Ah, can't you see it?
a sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
You guys are friends of the program, man. I can never turn y'all down.
I know that's right. That's Stacey King.
The friends of the program are my friends, and they are friends for life.
Afternoons on the Score.
But make no mistake, this is something, Speaks, I think you and the listeners are really going to enjoy. This, are you a Curb fan at all?
Sure, of course.
Okay. He is Latte Larry. He's going to operate the Spite Store, and the opponent will be Mocha Joe.
So, let's turn to our resident Curb Your Enthusiasm enthusiast, Chris Tannehill. Tell people about the Spite Store and how Latte Larry works.
Well, it's a very popular show. I'm sure I'm not the only one that could enlighten the audience. I've never seen the show, actually.
Just take it.
A couple seasons ago, there was a coffee shop named Mocha Joe's, and
so far this tracks.
Yeah, Shane, you might want to help me out on the specifics as to why Larry felt the compulsion to avoid going to Mocha Joe's. Like, there was something wrong. There's something he didn't like about the coffee shop. It doesn't matter. Okay, you asked me. He didn't like Mocha Joe's coffee shop, right? So, out of spite, Larry opened his own coffee shop right next door called Latte Larry's, and it was the plot point of the entire season is him building up his own coffee shop out of spite.
Just out of spite for Mocha Joe.
Season 10, huh?
So when the Lions played the Cowboys,
what else? What else you got for me, Shane? On that season 10,
I never claimed good. To be a
no, a but you got guy. It right there. And Speeds wanted to know.
It just says season 10, episode you want to know? One.
Yeah.
So anyway, thanks guys. That was plenty. It was great. It was great. Obviously, it was great.
What did Parco get here? What's up, Parco?
It's just a battle of impressionists in there this week.
Yeah. Oh, Grody said Valencia.
Grody wins.
You guys said Valencia, but you let me on.
So when the Cowboys played the Lions in the playoffs a couple years ago, and the Cowboys got the refs to say that Taylor Decker, the lineman, didn't report as eligible when, in fact, he actually had.
We know all about that.
Yeah, the Lions got all pissed off. And when the Lions beat the bejesus out of the Cowboys this past season, during that game, Ben Johnson tried throwing a touchdown pass to Taylor Decker. He ran a hook and ladder to Penei Sewell. He let the offensive tackle Dan Skipper run routes as a wide receiver. And they ran a flea flicker to the tight end Sam Laporta for a touchdown. Uh-huh. All out of pure petty and spite.
It's beautiful.
For the Cowboys having done things. So as they're beating the hell out of the Cowboys, he rubbed it in over and over and over with offensive lineman plays.
Do you think the reason he was doing a lot of those plays against the Bears, then not spite, but showing off? The pass play to Penei Sewell, the bum rush.
The stumble bum.
That's what I meant. Stumble bum. Yeah. I mean, like three or four plays.
I think he was actually absolutely showing off in his job interview.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because now we know how much he wanted the job and how long he's been wanting the job. So that provides clarity that, he was showing everybody a little something.
So the fact that there was probably multiple instances, that's the one Valenti was referencing, but of Ben Johnson being petty and or spiteful as a competitive guy.
Yeah, something else really important here on our way in. Adam Harris texted me, reminded me about the specifics of the Mocha Joe Latte Larry. So I just want to clear this up.
Thank you.
For the listeners. I know it's important.
You tell Adam Harris.
Okay, yeah, I thought he passed, personally. Larry got upset because Mocha Joe's coffee wasn't hot enough, and he didn't like the scones served at Mocha Joe.
The scones were too dry, right?
Are we good like that? Are we good now?
That's enough, Mark.
That's enough.
And the tables wobbled at Mocha Joe's.
Okay. There we
Shout
go.
Shout out to Adam Harris.
Thank
hey,
you,
we'll,
Adam
we'll go looking at cats someday, Adam. We're both cat lovers. And he actually said to me,
"Let's
hey,
go
man,
look at cats."
Yeah, let's go look at cats. I was like, "Absolutely, we'll go look at cats
like
someday."
Where? Where you guys like going? At people's houses?
Like to a shelter?
Like
go,
Rick's,
go hang
Rick's
out
cabaret
and pet cat? Well, yeah, you know, maybe. Who knows? We'll see.
Actually, how about at Polecats? Don't they have cats over there?
Polecat Tony?
Tommy?
Tommy. Yeah, it's actually Tommy.
Polecat Tony
one
has
of the
passed.
Things,
Speaks, Polecat Tony passed.
Speaks, look at me. One of the things that I did write down on my chart right here.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah. I did, to your point about the spiteful Ben Johnson, I wrote, red ass, good, because... there wasn't really anger accountability with the predecessors to Ben Johnson. Like, you never felt like Eberflus was in the midst of a 10-game losing streak in either of his 10-game losing streaks. When Matt Nagy was here, we wanted him to show something, some accountability for the bad that was going on, whether it was getting on a player or going off in a press conference. It doesn't sound like Ben Johnson is necessarily the go-off in a press conference guy, but low-key don't mess with him.
Yeah.
He said he cusses guys out. Now, I don't know that that George will care for that, but that Valenti said this is a guy who will cuss people out. I think, like, if he's being earnest about that, if it really happens, it sounds silly, but that's a good thing because we haven't seen that from Bears coaches, the coaches that I've covered over the last 6 years.
No, I totally agree. Yeah. I totally agree. You want that. You want that anger, that edge, and that accountability. And if you got that mixed with a play caller of that kind of magnitude, that's pretty special stuff. How about the tight end thing?
Oh, yeah.
Buckle up on tight ends. And you do a search for things like that Lions fans have been saying about the tight ends over the past few years. Like, there was one time where they had 10 tight ends. Like, and that tight end room is always absurdly packed. Like, and he's a former tight ends coach who knows how important the position is. This Bears roster, there's going to be an overhaul. They're going to find a way to get rid of Gerald Everett. And if they can't cause the money, then he'll be like the fifth tight end. Like, there's going to be so damn many new tight ends on this Bears team to go along with Cole Kmet. Get ready for that.
And moving, you know, perfectly from that, the tight end, yes, that was one of the things that I starred during that interview. He also said, and this definitely goes with what you just said, that look out, Ben Johnson, if he has the say in the draft, he wants best player available. And Valenti in the interview said playmaker, which could completely throw off everything that we are all thinking with the number 10 overall. Think about Jahmyr Gibbs. When they drafted Gibbs and we were all in shock and look at the dumb Lions
the
and look
whole
what they
league,
did.
The whole NFL world was like, can you believe how stupid they still
are?
Oh,
yeah. So in other words, the people, and there are people out there who are like, who would love it if the Bears took a chance on Ashton Gentry, the running back out of Boise State. Like, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but that sort of stuff, if we are going to believe that about Ben Johnson, is in play. I still have, and we'll get to this later, I still have the Bears going with one of the lines, which I will reveal a little bit later on.
Oh, look at, listen to that. Listen to that tease
a little bit
later in the show.
I also have vision.
Sounds like Mark Brody's going to be on the clock a little bit later on.
Might so be on the
like
clock. I'll be giving vision. Mm-hmm. I'll give all sorts of things. But
yeah, playmakers.
That enlightened me a little bit. Like, I was like,
I don't know. How are you going to feel? How are you going to feel about that if in one of those three top, three in the top 41, right?
Yeah.
One of those three in the top 41, they end up taking an offensive playmaker.
Oh, man. I mean, like, I think
people
would be disappointed if you didn't take an offensive lineman, let alone an offensive playmaker. But yeah, you do. I mean, they do have 2 second-round picks. You should be able to get value.
And they might get another third if Ian Cunningham gets the Jaguars GM job. Yeah, you know, Shane has been hot on the idea of Cooper Kupp. And I have not been, but then Valenti's answer, like, yeah, I could see him wanting a slot machine. That's what Amon-Ra St. Brown is, what Keenan Allen used to be. This idea of putting Cooper Kupp into that slot and then letting Rome Odunze be a guy on the outside and letting DJ Moore be all over the place, that is, it's a bit more intriguing.
I think he's looking for security, right, Mark? I mean, Keenan Allen was the blanket last year. When he would scramble, he'd look for Keenan first. You wish it would be Cole. You wish it would be Rome. You wish it would be DJ over Keenan. But they're going to let him find that security again. So if a slot guy and someone of that stature is his comfort, why not give Cooper Kupp, what's he going to get,
$6 million? $7
million? But it's the trade. You got to trade for him first. You got to trade for him and then sign him is the idea.
Yeah, no, of course. I'm talking about what the contract will be and what he's getting now.
Yeah, no, he'll get a lot more than that, I think.
I've been the one wanting to, and I understand that the realism of money and all of that, although the salary cap going up. I said keep Keenan Allen, and I was saying this towards the end of this season because I saw the chemistry build between those two. I saw the comfort, and then we heard Caleb Williams on the St. Brown podcast saying that that's the best player receiver he's ever played with. I understand he's only 23 years old. He's had 1 year in the NFL and 4 in college, but to say that, it's like it confirmed exactly what I was seeing with my eyes. So I don't know if it's that player or that type of player. So you got to listen to that stuff. Like as much as we all want to see Roma Dunze and that development of a young player, and we will right now.
Yeah, this is the
right now. Caleb Williams is really like comfortable with guys who know exactly what they're doing, and that's Keenan Allen.
It's a fascinating time, and I'm really pleased that we've settled on this as the segment because I think that's what we're trying to get inside is Ben's vision and Ben's idea for what he wants, and we're basing it on what he did for 3 years in Detroit. It's not just like, oh, this is what he did there with who he had there. It's they slowly put this together. They built this thing together, and he was a big reason behind it. So the RAS scores, having looked up the relative athletic score, which is the score that scales athletes on overall athleticism from 0 to 10, 5 being average, 9 being the 90th percentile, etc. And that is something that they used in Detroit, to Mike Valenti's notice. They must have also just picked better, because Ryan Poles has been using RAS scores a lot. Ryan Poles is a big fan of the RAS scores. And I can think of some of the athletes that he has taken who haven't panned out as football players, Velus Jones Jr. You got to make sure that somebody is a football player first, as well as a relatively athletic player as compared to his peers.
I agree with that. What a great example the Velus Jones is. Because
right, because that's an athletic freak, an athletic marvel, and you're like, we'll find a spot for him. No. In the NFL, they got to be football players.
I remember that camp, and all we could say, oh, God, well, this guy's fast. Look at him. When he get on the field, he was a difference maker. And then once the game started, it was like, oh, this is a problem. Another thing that he said that I thought was great was that Caleb, this is what Mike Valenti said to You Speaks, Caleb unlocks things that Ben Johnson couldn't do in Detroit.
Right.
Like with Jared Goff. And we think that Ben Johnson really liked Caleb all along.
Let's touch on that as we continue the conversation when we come back. Also, I want to get into something that I enjoyed over the weekend that I believe should become a societal norm. And I learned this from my friend, Societal Norm. Ooh. All of that upcoming before Paul Papst in studio top of the hour on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Richard Deitch from The Athletic.
I just want to say, it's always great to be on Chicago. If not the current city I'm in now, or New York, it is my favorite city.
I mean, this is very much some Mick Foley type stuff that you're doing right now, Richard.
This is the greatest city, Chicago, Illinois.
I just gave myself some cheap heat. Thank you, guys. Be well. Chicago's the best.
The city is Chicago.
Afternoons on The Score.
So, Mark Grody, you were talking about that moment in the Mike Valenti interview. He was talking about how Ben Johnson should be excited about Caleb, who unlocks some things. What's the phrase exactly?
Unlocks things that he could not unlock in Detroit. I don't know that Goff's name was mentioned, but obviously that's the insinuation. Could not do the same things with Jared Goff that, in theory, he will be able to do with Caleb
Unlock
Williams.
Unlock me!
This is going to be backdrop for a big storyline for me come training camp and the beginning of Bears season, is that the Bears have a chance to do right by Caleb Williams in the way that they did not in year number one, which is to simply ask him to function within an NFL offense that prioritizes the running game first. Like, go ahead and take advantage of what should be a decent defense. Go ahead and prioritize the run game, as all good NFL offenses, barring maybe the Bengals, maybe the Chiefs, like, and even the Bills ran the ball. Lord knows the Ravens and Chargers and Eagles and 49ers and the Packers all run the ball.
Yeah.
go ahead and prioritize that. Run the ball and let Caleb hand the ball off a lot. Use play action. And when it's time, like they said, actually, they were going to do last year, to unleash the special, then you can see the special. This offense, way too damn often, functioned by asking Caleb to be special and save their ass. So now they can actually do it the right way. And thankfully, they've got an offensive visionary who knows the run game has to come first. If Jared Goff could do what Caleb did, could do in off schedule, then you might have even more special stuff than what the Lions did. Go ahead and do it this classic NFL way.
You needn't look any further than the Bears-Detroit game on Thanksgiving Day at Detroit, where it was just Jameer Gibbs here, David Montgomery there, Jameer Gibbs, I mean, just marching down the field, explosive plays. That was extraordinary what they were doing to the Bears defense that day, but that's just a somewhat of a look at it as well. I think all of this speaks, goes into the category of another thing you guys were talking about in the interview, and that is structure.
Yeah.
It's a good reminder that, and I didn't watch every single snap, obviously, of Caleb Williams at USC. Went back and watched a ton of it, but he had, as he said, as Valenti said, there was very little structure happening at USC. He was allowed to do, in a lot of places he shined is when the structure broke down. But this ain't USC, this ain't college, and to not have that sort of enough structure around you last year, again, yeah, you had the wrong coaching staff for the right quarterback, which is just such a sin that it's got to get better.
He is Mark Grody. I'm Matt Spiegel. It's Spiegel and Holmes here on The Score. Look, I over the weekend, I saw The Brutalist, the movie The Brutalist, directed and produced and co-written by a guy named Brady Corbett. Anyway, me and the wife, we try to see every movie that's nominated for Best Picture before the Oscars come. So it's a nice little push. So we went out to see The Brutalist. Unlike you, Mark Grody, I did not see it at home with your parents.
Okay, that's fine.
I mean, that's how you saw it.
I'm just a better son. I mean, I value my parents.
I saw it in a movie theater with my wife.
Oh, that's nice.
And it's a long movie. And there's an intermission. And I gotta say, it should become the societal norm. And my friend Societal Norm also agrees, any movie over 2 hours needs to have an intermission.
Which is most of them nowadays.
What a beautiful thing this
was. Just say you're old with a small bladder. Just say you're old with a small bladder.
It's not just
that. Say your prostate's not healthy.
It's not just that. I checked my prostate before I came in and during the Valenti interview.
I was going to say, you did it, right?
Maybe don't get the enormo pop when you go.
It's funny you mentioned this, because we went to the Landmark Century Mall theater, and it was the biggest Coke Zero I've ever seen.
It's unbelievable.
It's outrageous.
I love the Coke machines that movie theaters now, at least the fancy ones, where there's like eight different types of Diet Coke.
You
get the lime Diet Coke, the raspberry Diet Coke.
But here's the thing. The intermission for the movie theater is not just to relieve my troubled bladder, okay? It's not.
Oh, troubled bladder.
You restock on the drink if you want. Or you go second level on the snacks. Instead of at the beginning of the movie deciding, I need everything I'm going to enjoy for this entire movie. We just got popcorn and the soda. And intermission was like, would you like something sweet now? I was like, why, yes, as a matter of fact, I would. We got the Reese's Pieces right then. And they served them chilled at the Landmark Century, which was lovely. So you got the Reese's Pieces chilled. But like, what an incredible, discuss the first half of this thought, this think piece of a movie.
You're not breaking down tape when you're watching a movie, dude. You're watching the movie and then, old school, you're breaking down tape when you leave.
No, looking for adjustments at the second half there?
I'm not looking for halftime in movies.
We need a seal here and a seal there. No, we absolutely were breaking down the first half. You've never seen a movie with me, Shane.
I did that too. I was like, what the hell is this movie about? Yeah. I don't understand any of it.
What do you expect in the second half? But my God, I loved intermission at the movies.
Okay.
Discuss amongst yourselves.
I didn't need it. I was enjoying the movie. I'm trying to figure out what's going on. No. This was not. This was at the theater. Where the Brutalist.
People said you were at home.
I thought you were at home.
No.
Oh, you went to the theater.
I mean, he said that, and you immediately commented on loving your parents, and that's why you watched it with them at home.
Yes, I did say that.
Well,
I do watch a lot of movies with them. This one was okay. I messed it up.
That's okay.
Accept it. But don't. It was at the theater.
You had an intermission. Did you use the intermission?
I think I did.
Of course you did.
Why not? Of course.
Of course. They're going to give it to you. Might as well use it, right?
Who wouldn't?
Yeah. So you're saying you liked it,
just
right?
In case.
Can't take those intermissions with you when you go.
Are you guys with societal norm on this one? I mean, this is a no-brainer.
No.
I got to tell you, so most movies are too long for me nowadays in the theater.
Talk about old man
like
here.
Even if you're going to see a kid's movie, it's like 2 hours sometimes now. Like, yeah. I don't need that, you know? So I'm cool with it. The last long movie I saw like that was Killers of the Flower Moon, and I got to tell you, could have used that intermission in that movie.
Really?
It's a heavy movie.
Yeah.
So, like, having that intermission helps with that, and like Speak said, the refill. You know?
The refill.
Because, like, I am at that age where it's like, you got to go to the bathroom before the movie starts if you get there, because now, like, that's another thing about the movie thing where it's like, well, they say it starts at this time, but really it's a half hour after that.
Correct.
Because of all the previews that you don't need.
You got to
go. Madonna show.
You got to go to the bathroom and help your addled bladder deal with things. You go right before the movie, and you could go at the intermission. If you're a movie theater owner, and I know you're not, Shane, I'm aware of that, okay? It's not your fault that you don't own a movie theater. But either way, you love the intermission. I bought more. I went and
bought
I bought more
intermissions. How many do you get?
I bought more snacks.
Like a vowel?
I bought more snacks.
I'd be intermission anxiety guy. How long is the intermission? They should have like a clock. Like put a scoreboard up there.
They did. On the screen.
Oh, love that.
They had a countdown for the intermission.
Last movie I saw with intermission, I think, was Hateful Eight, and there was no countdown for that one.
Can't
so
do that
helps.
Was
that
intermission for the Irishman? The meeting?
Ooh, I don't think so. Yeah. No,
okay. You saw that with Danny, right? At that really uncomfortable
Danny
theater
and I
on Clark.
I think to that same theater.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Did he do the popcorn trick on you?
Where you put the straw through the butter or the straw through the popcorn?
No, he's talking about a different popcorn.
It should be bigger than a straw, theoretically.
Well, theoretically. So here's the thing: when I was much younger than you guys, and that's still the case, we had this website called RunToPee.com, and you type in what movie you're going to see, and they tell you the prime times to go to the bathroom.
Oh,
that's
amazing.
That's the original intermission.
That's really
nice. So good.
But you're still missing some of the movie. It's just
but according
they
to the movie, they say you don't need that.
This is why you don't need it.
Like I do when they sing Gravity in Wicked, you don't need that one.
I agree.
How dare you?
I'm just kidding. Great movie. I saw it opening night.
I thought it was a wonderful movie.
Wonderful. I love it.
Yeah, what is the go-to Spiegel snacks? What do you have to have at a movie? Is there anything?
Yeah, I need the popcorn with the butter.
Okay.
And I know it's surprising. And then I need something chocolate that I dump in.
Oh,
dump
like M&M's. Yeah.
Ideally, chocolate peanuts, and you let them melt a little bit into the popcorn business. Ooh. So it all kind of blends together. Can do that with M&M's or peanut M&M's.
Yeah.
Or in this case, Reese's Pieces. That worked out beautifully.
Right. Right, nice, nice.
Texture says he saw Addled Bladder at the rave in 2002. Yeah, man, I'm sure they were
great.
It's
a hot show, man.
Yeah.
You know, we went after that to the Bueller party, man. We went to the rave.
The wedding? The Bueller's wedding?
No, there's a Bueller party, too.
Oh, dude. Bueller's
Bueller
wedding.
The party, it was sick.
Who else was there? You know who was there? Paul Pabst was there at Bueller's wedding.
He's down with
the
his sickness.
The only encounter I've had with him was at Bueller's wedding a few years ago.
Dude, sick. Bueller's wedding was sick.
Oh, my God.
We'll talk to Paul Pabst all about it next on The Score.
We are Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. We're live from Chicago, talking Chicago sports. Listen on your radio, your laptop, your mobile device through the Odyssey app, AUDACY, or tell your smart speaker to play 670 The Score. We're live and we're local. 670 The Score, always live on the free Odyssey app.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.